for which to ask. So for a few moments this morning, I want us just to consider Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. There's some very short, brief sermon notes, but I would encourage you to look at them in your bulletin and fill them in if you would like. This morning, as we seek first and look at Matthew 6, 33, Jesus' words to us first are seek the first things. What we are to seek are the first things. And what are the first things? Well, he gives us two first things. And the first thing is God's kingdom. Jesus says, seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom. Now, for us to just take a moment to understand what is God's kingdom. Oftentimes, we think of God's kingdom as something that is to come. It's out there. It's future. It is a yet-to-be-realized reality. And that is partially true. The fullness of the kingdom of God will come when Jesus returns one day. Amen? Amen? One day, the fullness of the kingdom of God, when all will be made right, will be realized when Jesus returns. But when Jesus came on the scene, one of the first declarations he made as he began his earthly ministry in Mark chapter 1 was this: repent, for the kingdom of God is near or at hand. The kingdom of God is right in your midst, is what Jesus was saying. He's saying the kingdom of God is not something that's so future out there that one day when you die or when Jesus comes back, whichever comes first, that then you'll understand the kingdom. The kingdom, when Jesus came, the kingdom came to earth. Because the kingdom of God is simply this: wherever the rule of God is surrendered to, wherever the reign of God, not reign as in physical rain from the clouds, but R-E-I-G-N, rule and reign of God, wherever the rule and reign of God is established, there the kingdom is. The kingdom doesn't have to be something that we are only looking forward to. The kingdom is something to be lived in today. In every kingdom, who rules a kingdom? A king. A kingdom is ruled by a king. Who is the king of God's kingdom? Jesus. So if the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God that is surrendered to, then Jesus, the king of the kingdom, wherever Jesus is surrendered to and acknowledged as Lord and King and welcomed for his rule and reign to come, there the kingdom of God is. Let me ask you something. Do you believe in this place that Jesus is king? Who here today, this is just a confession moment, who here today would say, Jesus is my Lord and my King? Look around for a moment. Keep your hands up. Look around for a moment. If Jesus is your Lord and your King, who is Lord and King in this place? Jesus. If Jesus is Lord and King, where is the kingdom? Right here. See, wherever Jesus is acknowledged, wherever Jesus is surrendered to as the Lord and King, there the kingdom is. The fullness of that kingdom will come when he returns personally and bodily and makes all things right. But wherever he is acknowledged, the kingdom of God is. Brothers and sisters, we're in the kingdom. We're in the boundaries of the kingdom. Because the kingdom is here on earth, because Jesus is acknowledged as king here. Seeking the kingdom to come is simply seeking for Jesus to be made Lord, for his rightful rule and reign to take place here and now. I asked Jack if he would help me with something, so come on up. I said something about R-A-I-N, rain, then I wasn't talking about that, but we're going to use this instrument that protects us from rain. I talked about this building being a place where the kingdom is, but I want to give this illustration. You're good right there. So for the sake of this illustration, Jack is Jesus. He's like Jesus because he's a follower of his, becoming like Jesus more and more. But we're going to say he is the representative of the person of Jesus. Okay? Okay. So where Jesus is, everything under that is the kingdom, we'll say. Okay? His rule and reign is everywhere underneath that umbrella. If it is raining and I'm under it, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be dry. If I step out of it, I'm going to get what? Wet. So everywhere that I come under the rule and reign of Jesus, that has to look like quite a picture from back there, huh? Everywhere that I come under the rule and the reign of Jesus, I am in the kingdom. I'm living under the kingdom influence, under the kingdom expression of his rule and his power here on earth. Brothers and sisters, what we are seeking is we are seeking the King, Jesus, and we're seeking to come under his rule and his reign. We read this morning at the beginning, humble yourselves. In order to come under the rule and reign of God, we must humble ourselves to come under his leadership, to make Jesus the rightful King and Lord of my life. First, seek the first things. The first thing is seek the kingdom. The second is seek God's righteousness. Jack's still going to be Jesus for a few minutes. Righteousness, we seek his rule and reign, but we also seek his righteousness. God's righteousness is the state of being as we ought to be, that is without sin, and that is acceptable to God. To be righteous means that I am without sin, and that I am made acceptable to God. Seek his kingdom, and seek his righteousness. The problem is, I think we would all agree on this. Scripture says, Romans 3:10, read it with me. As it's written, there is no one righteous, not even one. So if we are to be accepted by God only when we are righteous, that's kind of a hopeless statement, isn't it? There's not one of us, not even the best person in the whole world. If you were to throw out who's the best person that you know, whether personally or even in the news, someone in the world, some way to say, that is the best person I know. Even that person is still unrighteous. Even that person could not be accepted into relationship with God. But God did the unimaginable, the unthinkable, the amazing. Read with me 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him, and him is Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you hear what that is saying? Jesus, who was without sin, when he went to the cross, God made him to be sin for us. God substituted Jesus for us. So that when Jesus died, it was as if we died. And if Jesus was when Jesus was raised back to life, it was as if we were raised back to life. If we would simply come to him under his kingdom and his righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30 also says this. Read it with me. It is because of him, Jesus, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. See, God has brought us into a place where now Jesus counts for us. By my faith in Christ, by my submission to Jesus, I now am part of His kingdom and I'm part of His righteousness. Not because of me, not because I can say I'm the king, or not because I can say I'm righteous, but because Jesus is the king. And because Jesus is righteousness, when I come to Him, everything that is of Him counts for me. Isn't that amazing? That God would do that, would offer Jesus to be for us what we could never be for ourselves. In our position, in our standing before God, by our surrender to Him, by our faith in Jesus, we are in the kingdom and we are made righteous, perfect, just as Jesus is. Now, before Jack sits down, one more idea on this. Jesus says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Now, many times what happens is we say, I came to Jesus, I put my faith in Christ, I repented of my sin, I made Jesus the Lord of my life, I'm in the kingdom and I am righteous. And that is all absolutely true. But when I wake up tomorrow morning, I come to church on Sunday, I'm living as though I'm in with Jesus. But I wake up tomorrow morning, rise and shine, and it's like 2:30 tomorrow afternoon before I ever give Jesus a thought. How am I living? Am I living like this? Or am I living like this? I'm living like this. It does not mean that in my standing before God, I'm not like this. Because your position in Jesus will never change. When Jesus is saying, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He is saying, seek to live moment by moment under His kingdom rule and in His righteousness. Seek to live in such a way that Jesus is Lord of your life when you wake up at whatever time your alarm clock goes off. Seek to live with Jesus as Lord when you take off to go to the first activity of your day. Seek to live with Jesus as Lord as you begin to interact with the people around you. Seek to live with Jesus as Lord as you turn on the TV and media comes to you, or you listen to the radio, or you go on the internet. Seek to live with Jesus as Lord as you go about your day. And seek to live in the righteousness of Jesus when anger comes up. You know, when you're driving, none of us do this, right? When you're driving and somebody cuts you off and you say, God bless you, right? That's how we all do it, right? God bless you. Boy, that person must be in a hurry. I hope the Lord just protects that person. That was an unwise move by that driver. Boy, Lord, would you just send angels to protect that car? That's a person in a hurry, much more in a hurry than I am. Lord, I'm just going to chill and relax because I never get angry, right? If that's how you react, good for you. Because the way I react is, whoa. But His righteousness, seeking in that moment to say, Lord Jesus, that person cut me off. But Lord, I'm feeling angry right now, and there are words coming to my mind right now and maybe coming off my lips right now that are not righteous. Lord Jesus, would you in this moment help me in my anger? Would you in this moment, Lord, I confess that the thoughts and the words that I want to say or am saying are not glorifying to you, Lord. Would you change me from the inside so that who I am, righteous in you, becomes the way that I respond to that a little bit more? See, seeking His kingdom is, Lord Jesus, come have your way in my life this day. And seeking His righteousness is, Lord Jesus, would you make me more like you in the way that I live? Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Thanks, Jack. Can we give Jack a round of applause for standing there that whole time? He's got his right shoulder workout for the day, having to hold that umbrella in place all day. Seek the first things. See, so often we go after what we need. And Jesus is saying, seek my rule in your life. Seek my kingdom reign first. Seek me being Lord over your life. And seek becoming like me in the way that you live first. And then receive the added things. My New International Version, which I use, says, and all these things will be given to you as well. I like the translation, the original translation that some versions have of added. These things will be added to you. And here's why I like that better. Because what we really need is for Jesus to be Lord. And what we really need is for Jesus' righteousness to infect our lives a little bit more. And all the other things that we think are the most important become add-ons. They become bonuses. See, I think, Lord, help my kids as they go to school today. Help them as they interact with relationships with other kids. Help them as they study. Lord, keep them healthy and strong. Keep them growing. I often view that as the first thing. But what Jesus is saying is when I get things right in alignment and he is my first thing, the care of my children and the blessing of my children becomes a bonus add-on thing. Lord, my job, there's that person at my job that just drives me bananas. Or Lord, I really need more pay to be able to provide for my family. We often see that as the first thing, the main thing. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm your first thing. And the resolution of that situation is just an added bonus thing. Lord, I've got cancer, or my loved one has cancer, or my spouse is going in for surgery. Lord, that is the first thing. This is what I need you to do. And Jesus is saying this, I'm your first thing. The resolution of the physical need that's there, that's an added bonus. See, the kingdom of God and the way that God views things is backwards to the way we see things. We see the pressing, urgent, physical needs and burdens and concerns as the most pressing thing. And while it is absolutely important, Jesus says, flip it around. See knowing me and becoming like me as the absolute first, most important thing. And it will begin to change the way you view everything else. Come to me, and all these things will be given, added to you as well. Because your Heavenly Father cares. But what he cares about most is your relationship with his Son, is your seeking his Son, becoming like him and living under his kingdom. In Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to the end of the chapter, there's a very interesting story. And in that story, it's actually in Matthew, Mark, and Luke versions of it. There's a religious leader by the name of Jairus. And Jairus is a leader in the religious world of the Jews. And he comes to Jesus because his daughter, a ways away, is very sick. And she is most likely going to die. And he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, come with me to my house because I need you to come and to heal my daughter. She's going to die. So Jesus agrees. And a huge crowd is around Jesus. Jesus is there, his disciples are there, Jairus is there, and his people are with him, and they're on their way to Jairus' house. And in the midst of this huge crowd of people, I mean, almost picture a mob. Not an unruly mob, but a mob like a movie star or a sports athlete. If Ben Roethlisberger was out in public and he was known that Ben Roethlisberger was out in public at the mall, what would happen? Would there be a bunch of people going, oh, Ben Roethlisberger's over there? What happens? Ben Roethlisberger gets mobbed and everybody, give me an autograph, Ben, you're great. Imagine a sea of people crowding in around to where they're probably having to walk like this. And as they're walking on the way to Jairus' house so that Jesus can minister to his sick daughter, Jesus stops. And he says, who touched me? His disciples are like, there's like 100 people touching you. There's people all around you. What do you mean, who touched you? He said, who touched me? I felt power go out of me. And at that moment, a woman who was probably on her hands and knees speaks up. She said, Jesus, I touched you. See, that woman, for what we believe was probably 12 years or more, had dealt with a bleeding issue. And she had gone to every doctor that she could find. And she had spent every last penny that she had on medical care. And instead of getting better, she got worse. Here is this woman who suffered for 12 years, who saw every expert doctor there was in the day, and who was now flat broke, and who, because of her bleeding issue, would not have been able to go to worship God in the temple for all of those years because, according to Jewish law, she would have been ceremonially unclean, unable to worship, cast out from society, broke, getting physically worse, and hopeless. This woman had been trying everything she could to get better. She'd been going after all of these things. And on this day, she reaches out to Jesus because she believed, as she confessed to him, if I can just touch you, just touch your garment, I believe I'll be healed. And in that moment, in that crowd where she just touched his garment, her faith in him released healing into her body like that. And she was made well. What she had been seeking for was given to her. Restoration from being outcast because of her physical issue and now being brought back where she could worship the Lord in the temple once again. All of this was brought and remedied with a touch. Why? Because she sought Jesus. Friends, that woman is a wonderful picture of what happens when we seek Him, His kingdom rule, and His righteousness to come. She was made well. Friends, this day, I don't know what these things are that you are praying for. There may even be these things that you've grown so frustrated or hopeless or overwhelmed with that you're not even praying for them anymore because they're just not coming. Friends, this day, let me encourage you to seek His kingdom rule first and His righteousness to come to make you more like Him instead of seeking those things, and trust that the God who loves you with an everlasting love will do what is right with the added bonus things. Jesus. And in this year ahead, can we say on this first Sunday of 2018, we have things that we long for God to do. But before we seek Him for the things, can we be sure to seek Him for who He is? That His kingdom rule and reign, that He would be Lord, and that His righteousness would come and touch our lives and clean us up and transform us from the inside. May we seek Him. I wasn't going to share this morning, but I believe I should just share this example real quick, because I believe this is for somebody today. Oftentimes, we seek God for the things. And maybe there's some mess in your life, whether it's circumstantial or sin or just fear-based or whatever it is, and you've been seeking God that it would be cleaned up in your life. I don't know what that is for you. Eli has a fish tank. And we clean the fish tank. And every time he cleans the fish tank, it's clean for a little while. He gets all the water out. Not all of it, leaves some in there. Poor fish, poor Rocket, the goldfish would be in trouble if there wasn't any water. But he leaves a little bit in there, cleans it out on the inside, and then pours clean water in. Well, the longer we've been cleaning this thing, the less time it is between when he cleans it and it just gets dirty really, really, really quick. And it's like, what's going on with this? Well, the fish expert that I am, lack of fish expert that I am, this last time, right before Christmas, that Eli went to clean his fish tank, he cleaned it, put it in there, and the pump was going, so, Dad, can you go try to figure out why this? I mean, it was loud to the point where it wasn't doing any good. Just unplug it. It was better not even have the pump and the filter and all that. So I took it and did what I knew to do, pulled out the little filter thing and started to clean that, put it still, what's going on? So I decided I'm going to get experimental with things. And I realized all this time that you don't just take this little itty-bitty filter out. You got to take the whole thing apart. And when I found that you took the whole thing apart, inside was the most disgusting accumulation of gunk. And here's what was happening. No matter how much clean water you poured in, it was being filtered through garbage. It was being filtered through all the fish waste that had accumulated literally over years. It wasn't until you clean out the source of it that clean water will continue to flow. See, it doesn't matter how much clean water you put in if the source of it is spewing out gunk. And so what I believe there may be somebody here that needs to hear is you have been seeking to allow the righteousness of God to change your life, but you haven't allowed Him to change the inside. You've just been adding stuff to your life, but it's not addressing the core issue. It's not addressing your heart and your soul. And it may be that you have known for a while that there are soul issues, that there's sin that may need to be repented of, that there are hurts and wrongs, that there's even forgiveness that needs to take place. And until that forgiveness, the dealing with sin honestly, bringing fear out, all you're going to be doing is bringing in outside water that's going to get filthy. You need Jesus to come and to clean you from the inside so that what can flow is clean. It's seeking his kingdom, his rule over your life, and it's seeking his righteousness to come and to clean you up. I believe that's for somebody, and maybe more than one somebody. Seek first. Seek first. Seek first. This morning, we're going to celebrate communion. And communion is simply coming to the place of remembering and celebrating what Jesus has done for us on the cross. His body for us and his blood shed for us. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, all of the sin of the world, mine, yours, everybody's, was laid on his physical body. And so his body paid for all of our junk. And his blood washed it away. Which means there is nothing that you can possibly have in your life that Jesus cannot meet you in. It's not just about having your sin forgiven. It's about having all the fear, the worry, the anxiety, all the sickness, the disease, everything that plagues you. Jesus paid for, that his kingdom might come and you might be more like him. I'm going to invite those who are going to serve to come. And as they come, I'm just going to ask for us just to pause for a moment in prayer and just welcome the presence of Jesus into this time. We don't believe that anything magical happens to the bread or to the juice. But we do believe that if we seek Jesus, that he comes in a mighty and powerful way. Do you believe that? That Jesus is not just up in heaven somewhere, but that by his Spirit, he's with us. He wants to meet us. So as we would take these elements together, may it be an opportunity for you simply to cry out to Jesus. Jesus, here I am. May your life, may your work, may it bring freedom and healing and deliverance and joy and peace and love to the deep parts of my life. As we take communion, let us seek Jesus. So, Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your kingdom that has come. Thank you for the righteousness of Jesus given to us. Father, in the strong and mighty name of Jesus, I would ask, even as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup in these moments, that you might break loose some things on the inside of our lives. That your kingdom might come in such a way that healing may come, or forgiveness may come, repentance may come, forgiveness may be received and given, worry and fear and anxiety may go. Those things that plague us and have plagued us for so long and we've tried so long to rid ourselves of. Jesus, as we would seek you, you're here with us. So we would come under the umbrella of your presence, your kingdom, and your righteousness. May a new freedom come. May a new joy be birthed. May a new peace be settled. May new patience be given. May new self-control arise. May what you have paid for, may it be known more in these moments. Spirit of the living God, do these things through the power of Jesus. You don't have to be a member of this church, just simply a one who has trusted in Jesus to partake of this. Jesus, as he had the Last Supper with his disciples, took bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you."